Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here to have Bible study. And so we're waiting for you to come on in. So come on, we're waiting for you.
We do praise God for each of you as we make our way into December, and as we praise God for sustaining us in the midst of everything that we have gone through and what we're going through and what we will go through. The Bible reminds us that eyes haven't seen nor ears heard, neither have there entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So let us know that you're getting a clear signal tonight and that you're getting a good feed as we prepare for this time together. And then we're certainly grateful for your continued support as we jump into our word tonight. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles, the 30th chapter. And I believe, Lady Kim, there are about 27 verses there. And so we're going to see if we can't cover that tonight as we continue to focus our attention and our energy around Hezekiah as he has taken on the leadership and he has become now the new leader, the king of the children of Israel. And he's doing some powerful things in terms of reshaping and trying to get everybody back on track and gaining some additional ground in terms of some of the things that was lost as a result of what his dad had set in place. And I can imagine, Lady Kim, even as you're trying to find the page, that it was probably a very difficult time in a season for him to see his dad doing all of these things. And he was of age to know that he was not going down the right road, and perhaps trying to see how he could justify some of the things that his dad was doing and not cause any conflict in the household. But we see now that he has taken the reins and now he's ready to provide godly leadership. And it's almost a back and forth, up and down process that we see happening here with the kings who are in succession and how they are yet going through difficulty and trying to maintain a level of godliness, if you will, as it relates to what God would have for them to do. And so Hezekiah, he starts out strong. He's trying to get back to the old landmark, as we would say, and he's trying to make sure that he represents God well and that he's on the right track.
Amen.
Okay.
And the first thing he does is try to go in and right the wrong of, is it Ahaz?
Right.
And we're going to get into that tonight. So.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Are you able to get that up, Lady Kim, on your page?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get started. And then somebody text us and let us know that you are getting a clear signal and that you're able to get the feed tonight as we prepare for this time together. Let's have prayer. God, we're eternally grateful for your presence. We thank you now for your peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you for continuing to bless us even in spite of ourselves.
Yes.
And God, we're grateful that you yet look beyond our faults and get right to our needs. We thank you that you're a God of grace, you're a God of mercy, you're a God of compassion. You are God who not only hears, but you answer our prayers. And so, God, we pray that you would just speak to us even tonight, and then that you will show yourself strong on our behalf. We pray for each person that's going to be a part of this time that we'll spend together tonight. And now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer.
Yes.
We love you. We honor you. Thank you for allowing us to enter into a new month.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, dear Lord, for sustaining us for 11 months. And here we are getting ready to close out this year. So we give you praise in advance for what you're going to do. So we love you and we honor you. And we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
How do you get to your ATOP page, Lady Kim? Okay. So let's see what we have. We still don't have it. So, all right. Well, I don't know if we're getting a clear signal or not, and we're not seeing it on the page. Can someone let us know if you are out there that the signal is coming through tonight as we prepare for this time together? But nevertheless, we're going to continue to move forward, and we do praise God for how he blessed in a powerful and a mighty way on yesterday and all of this past weekend, and how we had an exceptional time in the Lord. Wouldn't you agree with me on that, Lady Kim?
Yes,
and Lady Kim, you are in the process of trying to close out your time in terms of presentation of the sermons that you needed to present, as well as the, part of your dissertation.
The workshop.
Process project. And the project that you're working on. And so that was a delightful time because we learned some very valuable information in the workshop. But the sermons were excellent in terms of your preparation and getting us to see clearly what God would have us to do as it relates to. And I kept hearing in my spirit yesterday about being servant, being a servant.
Yes.
And how important it is for us not to seek the seat, but to seek to be a servant.
Yes. Okay. I just got a message that we are not on Facebook, mm-hmm. but that we are on the website. So we'll continue, like you said.
Okay.
Until I don't know what's going on with Facebook.
Okay.
So, yes. And so my dissertation involves preaching a few sermons and then doing a workshop and then doing a training for how to get things done with the Meals from the Heart program.
Okay.
And so I have enjoyed the sermons thus far. And so I just thank God that I'm able to have such a receptive congregation to what I'm trying to do. And that it's coming to a close. And so I thank God that it is. If you are there, 1-ATOP TV is where we're coming in clearly. So
I'm trying to get him to check it so we can continue to go forward.
All right. And so on yesterday, my sermon came from Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 35 through 45. And it basically is a leadership. I'm trying to get to my notes that I had. And it talks about the disciples and a dispute that broke out amongst the disciples. But it was called No Reserve Seating. Mm-hmm. And it was from the text in Mark that talked about James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and how they asked to sit on Jesus' left hand and on his right hand when he came into his kingdom. And they were actually thinking that Jesus was going to establish a physical kingdom on earth. And so they thought they were going to be seated in high positions. They were asking to be seated in high positions in Jesus' kingdom when he established it. But we all know that Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom.
Okay.
That he was coming to redeem us from sinfulness and restore us to right relationship with God the Father through his death on the cross.
Okay. The Old Testament was about revelation being revealed, and the New Testament really kind of helps us understand that it's being fulfilled.
Absolutely.
And so, as you just indicated, Jesus was clear in terms of making sure, because I think this was one of the issues that the disciples had even doing Acts when they were trying to figure out what the kingdom was going to look like. And mm-hmm. This passage that you shared with us on yesterday is one that really kind of helps us understand the importance and the significance of not being so concerned about a seat, but being concerned about service.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have any points, but you were really, in my estimation, trying to drive home that servant leadership piece and letting people know the importance of them yielding themselves. And Jesus said, if you want to be great, if you want to be in charge, if you want to live that big life that you talk about, then it doesn't come as a result of you lording over people, right, but it comes as a result of you serving. He says, I didn't even come to be served, but I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways he showed them that he came to serve and not to be served, well, we know that he had already performed lots of miracles. They seen him do lots of miracles, feeding of thousands of people, healing sick people, raising the dead. But then he demonstrated that to them by girding himself with a towel and washing the disciples' feet. Your feet being washed was a common act during that time because they wore sandals and they walked almost everywhere. And so their feet were dirty and dusty. And so when they came into the house, one of the rituals was that they would have their feet washed or the dirt washed from their feet. So when Jesus came, he wrapped the towel around himself and he began to wash his disciples' feet, which is something that the servants would do. So he talked about how, like you said, that he came not to be served, but to serve, and that they should do the same thing. But he also said that service comes with sacrifice. And sacrifice means going beyond, you know, experiencing some pain sometimes and some disappointment as you serve. And so service is not always going to be something pretty. Service is not always going to be something that's comfortable or nice. Service means that you're going to have to go when you don't feel like going. Service means that you have to do things that sometimes you don't want to do, you know. But nevertheless, the job needs to be done. So to serve God's people, you have to be willing to go beyond yourself and do whatever it takes to get the job done.
Wow. So do you think most people look at the glitz and the glamour and the leadership aspect of what they see in terms of how people respond to those who are in leadership, and not really think about the sacrifice or the commitment that's necessary in order for them to carry the mantle, because Jesus told them that, I can't give you this, but you're gonna really suffer. You're going to go through some things. You're going to experience some things by drinking of the cup that I'm drinking of, and it's going to be important for you to know that your service is what's going to outweigh what you're trying to do in terms of getting the glory.
Absolutely.
And getting into a seat.
Yes. And so, you know, when we talk about a seat, that seat can be a metaphor also, you know, for being in a powerful position.
Okay.
You know, and not necessarily a seat sitting down, but a seat as of a place of authority and power. So most people want a seat of authority and power. And in those days, in Jesus's time, you know, there were very few people at the top, very few people that were powerful. Most people were poor and they were peasants, and they desired to have more. And so to want more, to desire more, was not uncommon because people were so poor. And so when they did get a seat of importance, a seat of prominence, then they lorded that over people. They told people where to go, where to sit, what to get, you know. That was part of having power. But Jesus said that I don't come to have that kind of power. Or that's not the kind of power we're going to have. The kind of power that we're going to have is that the focus is not going to be on us, but the focus is going to be on those who are in need.
Okay. Well, anything that you felt you may have left out after you thought about your sermon when you finished and what could have maybe been added or subtracted from it?
Well, I think one of the things I should have stressed more is that we are all disciples. Mm-hmm. And I think I said that we're all disciples.
You did.
As part of the denomination of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, and disciples means student or learner of Christ. But Jesus was talking to James and John and the other 10 disciples, but we are the ones he's speaking to directly, not only those in leadership positions, but he's speaking to all of us. This is our position as Christians, that we are to be have an attitude of servitude.
Okay. You didn't say that yesterday, but that's good. An attitude of servitude.
Attitude of servitude.
Did you say that yesterday?
I did not.
Okay. And you know, I was, really awed by you using the example, and I think people caught it as you related the things that we do as leaders, and how many times leaders feel that they need to be pointing and directing and not getting their hands dirty. But no, we need to be out on the field and being involved and being a part of what is necessary in terms of trying to make sure that others get a sense of their importance in being involved in leadership and servanthood. And so I praise God for you. Tell us a little bit about the workshop. So we're going to have an additional workshop this Saturday.
Yes, and I invite anyone who would like to come and participate in the workshop. And the workshop just gives more in-depth information about Meals from the Heart and why it's so important for us to do the work that we're doing at Anointed Temple of Praise. Many times we are involved in the work, but we don't connect that work with a theological implication, mm-hmm. or we don't connect it with the Word, but whatever we do should connect up with the Word of God. And I wanted to stress the importance of it connecting to the Word of God, as well as the importance of why we're doing what we're doing, because there's such a great need in our community.
Okay. And I think one of the things that most people, well, I know for me, I can speak for myself, that I was really impressed with is showing how there is food deserts across our city, and how a lot of people have, you know, I guess they've stopped struggling in terms of trying to make something happen to get food and supermarkets and places where they can get wholesome meals and healthy food for their families. And we see all of these pop-up convenience stores and liquor stores that are taking the place of the supermarkets that would have been in the community. And I don't know if it's a system in place or this is by design or it's a political thing, but it's really a bad situation when we look at how we stack up on the national level in terms of the need that is present in, for people being able to receive food and adequate, you know, food to keep to sustain their families.
Amen. Yes. And one of the things that we know is that healthy food helps create and sustain healthy bodies.
Okay.
And unhealthy food makes our bodies sick. You know, mm-hmm. we have high blood pressure, diabetes, lots of health problems because we eat the wrong kinds of foods.
Okay.
And so having healthy food, affordable healthy food, is something that we have to strive for. It's cheaper to buy fast food, McDonald's, mm-hmm. Popeyes, Burger King. It's easier.
Chick-fil-A.
Yes, it's easier to purchase and less expensive to purchase fast food than it is to purchase vegetables, fruits, and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a problem in our society with being able to provide affordable affordable food for our families.
Okay. Well, we have some issues here, and we are experiencing technical difficulties, and we have a crew that's working to see what's going on, but from all indication, it looks like it's something connected to Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so just be patient with us, and I think we have on the screen, on our page, directing people to go to the streaming side of our broadcast, and we hope that y'all would participate and be a part of that, even as the crew is working on trying to resolve the issues.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lady Kim, well, I'm excited about what lies ahead, because I really see what you have presented thus far and the enthusiasm and the excitement of the people as it relates to Meals from the Heart, that this is going to be an even more aggressive approach going forward in terms of us trying to make sure that we provide a sustainable resource for people. And we're not trying to solve the whole problem, but we know that we can do our part. Mm-hmm. And if others catch the vision as well and do their part, and it's not always about us being the ones, we can partner with people who are out there on the front lines even now, trying to help those who are destitute and those who are in a bad fix in terms of these food deserts. And people don't really share personally their need until they're in proper relationship with others and feel free about sharing some of the things that they might be going through. There are a lot of fortunate people out there who probably have no idea about how just 20 miles from where they live, that people are struggling and people are trying to figure out what they're going to eat for dinner and what they're going to have for, you know, breakfast, mm-hmm. and all of that kind mm-hmm. of thing. And so I praise God that we're able to be sustained, and that it could have very easily been us. It could have been very easily someone who's listening tonight, caught up in a situation where they are trying to figure that out. But praise God, He has sustained us. And I believe that once God gives us the capacity to help others, we are blessed to be a blessing. And we ought not hoard those blessings or keep them to ourselves, mm-hmm. but that we ought to make provisions and try to provide streams of, if you will, support to help other people in terms of some of their needs. Now, everybody who's in the situation that they're in, it's not always their circumstances. Many times it's the choices that they made.
That's true.
That caused them to be in a predicament that they're in. But we're not trying to look at all of that. We're not trying to judge anybody, but we hope and pray that people will get a sense of trying to pull themselves out of the situation by connecting to the various resources out there that will help them improve their livelihood. And so we want to be a part of what God is doing once He has given us the vision, and we want to connect with people and not try to bite off the whole, you know, elephant and allow to be a part, and want to be a part of the solution and not try to solve it ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I said a mouthful, but what would you get out of all of that?
That we can do more.
Okay.
We'll have to do more to solve the problem.
All right.
Because what we're doing with our program is just not really even scratching the surface.
That's right.
Of the problem.
That's right.
You know, and so we're going to have to find creative ways to be of more assistance to the people who are in need. And you said going 20 miles down the road, we can go 5 miles down
Absolutely.
The road.
Absolutely.
And find food deserts, and most of the children that I need to get some percentages on the children in Memphis Shelby County schools who receive free lunch and free breakfast every day, and sometimes those are the only two meals that they get,
mm-hmm.
you know, are those meals that they get at school. And so it is a serious problem. And so we're, like I said, we're just scratching the surface of the issue. And I just wanted people to be aware of what's going on in our community, mm-hmm. in the Memphis area, in Memphis Shelby County, Tennessee
that's right.
area.
That's right.
And that's why Hickory Hill is not in a food desert.
No.
Our church does not sit in a food desert.
Right.
But we do provide meals to those who are in food deserts.
Right.
So I wanted people to understand that also.
Okay. And we have moved our numbers up. We go out each fourth Sunday, and we service about 250 people. And now we have increased that by another 100 by partnering with another house. What's the name of it?
The Kitchen.
The Kitchen, and to help and assist them. And so our numbers have increased to about 350. But that's just once a month. I mean, people are in
need. People are hungry every day.
Every day.
Every day.
We're trying what we can to do, you know, the best we can with the resources that God has afforded us. And we hope others will support us in that effort and come on board. And I know you had a lot of people to sign up, and we'll probably get some more people to sign up. And people were responding to their gifts as well.
Amen.
And giving to support the effort. Because many times, if you don't know and nobody says the thing, then they have no way of responding. But I think people, when they see a need that is really God is directing them to participate in, then they will put forth their support through their service as well as through their money.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, they will.
All right. Well, thank you, Lady Kim, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do going forward. We know that this is not just a one-time thing that's attached to what you're trying to do to finish up to get your doctorate, but we know that it's going to be something that's going to be attached to ATOP and going to sustain the ministry and support those who are in need.
Absolutely.
Okay. Amen. All right. Well, we're in 2 Chronicles, and mm-hmm. we're still working through our technical difficulties. The 30th chapter, mm-hmm. and we see now that Hezekiah is king, and that he's not wasting any time, Lady Kim, by making sure that he tried to get things back in order. As I said earlier, it probably was really a struggle, or he probably was vexed in his spirit to see how his dad had lost sight of what he was supposed to do. And he was of age in the house, and he was able to see some of the things that were going on. And so when his dad died, we find that he began to rebuild, he began to restructure. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he cleansed the temple, then he sanctified the temple, and he had the Levites and those who were in charge of cleaning the temple to make sure that the incense were there. And then they consecrated the temple. And now we see here in the 30th chapter that they presented sacrifices to the temple as well. That's in the 29th chapter. But now we see here in the 30th chapter that they are preparing for the celebration of Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And from all indications, some of the people were not thrilled about him bringing back that celebration.
Right.
And so we find that he had a few people who were kind of in rejection mode, if you will. But I really like the courage and the conviction of Hezekiah as he continued to go forth in spite of those who were opposing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he continued to press toward what God had placed in his heart.
Amen. And he was reinstituting everything that had been in place when his forefather, King David, had reigned on the throne. And it stated for generations, they had not done the sacrifices.
That's right.
They had not done the Passover. And that was one of the things that God himself told them to do, to remember.
That's right.
You know, remember them coming out of exile,
mm-hmm.
and going into the promised land. So this was, like you said, a courageous thing for Hezekiah
yeah,
to do, even in spite of the opposition that he faced.
That's right. And so we see he began to extend an invitation not only to Israel, but to Judah. And he's calling for a mass assembly, if you will, in support of the Passover and keeping the Passover. And we'll see how this begins to unfold here in this 30th chapter.
Amen.
I'm going to go to the streaming side, Lady Kim, and see what we have through the app. As you ready to read, or you want to share some more thought before we read?
No, well, we can go on and read. I will share this thought that in the, just as a refresher, that in the 29th chapter, how we talked about how he restored the things to the temple. And now that he's restored the physical things to the temple, now he's going to, now he's going to restore the symbolic things of the exile.
Okay.
And that's the Passover.
All right. They are saying the signal is clear on this end, and we have comments here, but let's go ahead and start reading some of that 30th chapter, and there are 27 verses there, I believe, and let's read maybe the first 15 verses and see if that's a good place to stop. If not, you can pinpoint a place as you already have it in your Bible.
Okay.
It shows different places where you can stop, right? A good stopping point.
Yes, sometimes.
All right.
And we're in 2 Chronicles, the 30th chapter, starting with verse 1. Hezekiah sent word to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his officials and all the assembly in Jerusalem had taken counsel to keep the Passover in the second month, for they could not keep it at its proper time because the priests had not sanctified themselves in sufficient number, nor had the people assembled in Jerusalem. The plan seemed right to the king and all the assembly. So they decreed to make a proclamation throughout all of Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and that the people should come and keep the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel, at Jerusalem. For they had not kept it in great numbers as prescribed. So couriers went throughout all Israel and Judah with letters from the king and his officials, as the king had commanded, saying, O people of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, so that he may turn again to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your ancestors and your kindred, who were faithless to the Lord God of their ancestors, so that he made them a desolation, as you see. Do not now be stiff-necked as your ancestors were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and come to his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, so that his fierce anger may turn away from you. For as you return to the Lord, your kindred and your children will find compassion with their captors and return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. Verse 10. So the couriers went from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh and as far as Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Only a few from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. The hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the officials commanded by the word of the Lord. Verse 13, many people came together in Jerusalem to keep the festival of unleavened bread in the second month, a very large assembly. They set to work to remove the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for offering incense they took away and threw into the water Kidron. They slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed, And they sanctified themselves and brought burnt offering into the house of the Lord. That was verse 15.
Okay. All right. Anything significant jumped out there as you were talking? And we're back live on Facebook. They have worked through those difficulties. But anything significant jumped out to you as you were reading those first 15 verses?
Well, I admonish Hezekiah as he tried to bring the divided tribes back together again. Because remember some time ago, you know, they were all one nation, mm-hmm. the nation of Israel. Then they split into two divided kingdoms, okay. you know, Israel and Judah. And he's calling them back as a whole to offer the Passover, mm-hmm. to recognize the Passover again. And so this is where he sends out letters to everybody. And I'm not sure in the commentary that I read states they're not sure why he sent letters specifically to Manasseh and Ephraim. But he sent them to all of the tribes.
Right,
but,
right.
but he kind of really honed in on Manasseh and Ephraim also.
Okay. And so go ahead.
That's what came out. Really kind of jumped off
the page for you. And part of what really captured my imagination was the fact that the couriers went throughout the land. And so that could have extended the time because we look at that and when we read that, we think it's an instant email or a text or something mm-hmm. of that nature. But they were traveling mm-hmm. to make sure that they got the word out. Mm-hmm. And then when they did get to several of these places, they said that the people laughed at them and they talked about them and they were not willing to be of a support to them. But we see that in verse number 11 said only a few from Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. But the 12th verse says the hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the officials commanded by the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And so many times we think it has to be the majority.
Yes.
But I believe God still operates and he moves in terms of using that select group, the minority, to really advance his work. And sometimes people feel as if it's not a majority rule, that it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one plus God equals a majority every
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so this is powerful in terms of the obedience and those who are willing to follow the mandate that Hezekiah is uplifting and trying to refresh and trying to restore back to the land and to the kingdom. As we talked about, the invitation was extended to Israel and Judah to be a part of the Passover, which was a significant point of contact and a point of remembrance in how God had delivered them.
Amen.
And so we pick it up at about verse number 16. Is that right? You stopped at 15?
Yes.
Okay, and so we see the Passover is perhaps even getting ready to start being functional in terms of what is about to happen here in terms of keeping the Passover, even though the full majority was not present. But Hezekiah had a mind to do what God required of him to do, and he went forth even though he didn't have full participation.
Amen, yes. All right. And so this next section talks about how the Passover is celebrated. Really, it started with verses 13 mm-hmm. through 27. It's going to talk about the preparation and sacrifices made, and God is merciful to the ignorant worshipers, worship, teaching, and fellowship, resulting in joy and answered prayer, verses 13 through 23.
Okay.
So,
you want to start back at 13 and then 15?
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It says many people came together in Jerusalem to keep the festival of unleavened bread in the second month, a very large assembly. They set to work and removed the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for offering incense they took away and threw into the water kindren. They slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed, and they sanctified themselves and brought burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. They took their accustomed post according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests dashed the blood that they received from the hands of the Levites. For there were many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves. Therefore, the Levites had to slaughter the Passover lamb for everyone who was not clean to make it holy to the Lord. For a multitude of the people, many of them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover, otherwise than as prescribed. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon all who set their hearts to seek God, the Lord, the God of their ancestors, even though not in accordance with the sanctuary's rules of cleanliness." The Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people of Israel who were present at Jerusalem. Kept the festival of unleavened bread even 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, accompanied by loud instruments for the Lord. I'm at verse 22.
Okay.
Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites who showed good skill in the service of the Lord. So the people ate the food of the festival for 7 days, sacrificing offerings of well-being and giving thanks to the Lord, the God of their ancestor. Then the whole assembly agreed together to keep the festival for another 7 days. So they kept it for another 7 days with gladness. For King Hezekiah of Judah gave the assembly 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep for offering. And the officials gave the assembly 1,000 bull and 10,000 sheep. The priests sanctified themselves in great numbers. The whole assembly of Judah, the priests of the Levites, and the whole assembly that came out of Israel, and the resident aliens who came out of the land of Israel, and the resident aliens who lived in Judah rejoiced. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, son of King David of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Then the priests and the Levites stood up and blessed the people, and their voice was heard. Their prayers came to his holy dwelling in heaven.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? And so we see Hezekiah really going forward, because he started shorthanded because, first of all, the priests had not been sanctified. He didn't have enough of them from the very outset to do what God had commissioned him to do. But he took time out to get, and I'm pretty sure that during the time that word got out and word got back, that they had ample time to start sanctifying themselves for the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And I like verse number 20, because it says that even though when the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. And so verse 21 said, the people of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the festival of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, accompanied by loud instruments to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what's happening here, Lady Kim, is that Hezekiah prayed that God would accept those who came to worship.
Mm-hmm.
And that those who had not been cleansed, then they had an opportunity to be cleansed. And even though they may have fell short of some of the requirements, but since they knew that they were, they knew who they were, and they had a dedication, I think, in their heart to please God, and they were willing to come as a result of the invitation that was extended. And the Bible says that they were healed even in that process. Mm-hmm. And so part of that healing, I think, had to do with, no doubt, a physical healing from the diseases and the sicknesses that they had, and but forgiveness and comfort and peace, that's comes from God, and all of it comes from God. But they had some ailments that they had been wrestling with, and the Bible says they were healed of those.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And there were certain things they had to do to make themselves clean before they, you know, went into the to worship. And there were many not sanctified or purified from uncleanliness contracted either by idolatry or such things which, according to the ceremonial law, made them unclean. Or they didn't have time to cleanse themselves according to the law. Right. So that's why Hezekiah went in and did what he did and prayed for them to be clean.
So part of this has to do with the attention of their heart. And I think they had a right heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's even though they may have fell short of some of the things that they needed to do and the requirements that were necessary. You know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at our hearts. And so as a result of that, even though, like you just indicated, they were struggling trying to make sure they got themselves in a position so that they can present themselves to God. Mm-hmm. And I think God saw their hearts. And when Hezekiah began to pray, people were being healed and delivered and set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Well, by the power of God and the Holy Spirit, all the same.
Right, you know? Mm-hmm.
So that really kind of captures what happened in this particular chapter. How would you kind of summarize this and put a cap on it, if you will? But it's not going to really be a cap because it's going to continue over into 31.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's really interesting because it kind of goes along with what I've been talking about over the last few Sundays of leadership. Mm-hmm. That, you know, follow the important instructions of godly leadership.
Okay.
You know, such as attending the Passover, sending letters to all to come, following their leader. You know, Hezekiah, in this situation, he asked God to forgive the people who were not fully holy, as the rules stated they should be. And God agreed to Hezekiah's request, with the Israelites in Jerusalem following instruction and the Levites doing the same, as well as many others. So all were praying, thanking God because their prayers reached heaven.
Okay.
And so Hezekiah, you know, he did whatever was necessary to try to bring not some people, but everybody back into right relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And he did that by sending couriers throughout all of Judah and Israel saying, return to the Lord.
Okay, all right. And so this was a significant festival or significant ordinance that was necessary in order for them to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because we ought not ever forget how the Lord has delivered, how the Lord has made a way, how the Lord has opened the door for us. And I think this speaks to that as well, because the Passover was of significance to them in terms of their deliverance from Amen. The hand of the enemy.
Amen.
All right. Well, even in spite of our technical difficulties, we praise God for those of you who are on the streaming side, as well as those who connected to the Facebook Live page. We don't know exactly what the difficulty entailed, but we praise God that we did get some of it on there before we closed out tonight. A powerful lesson and a powerful reminder about leadership and about obedience and about doing what's right in the sight of God. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with
Amen.
Me on that?
Amen.
Okay. Anything else as we prepare to close out? Any prayer requests or any special praise reports?
Well, we definitely have prayer requests. We want to lift up Mother Elizabeth Hughes and the loss of her sister Pauline Jones. That funeral was last Friday in Nashville.
Okay.
And we also want to lift up Sister Luberta Brown in the loss of her brother. And that funeral was this past Saturday in Chicago, Illinois. And so we want to continue to lift up all of our sick and shut in. I see Sister Deborah Taylor is on. They haven't been there in a few Sundays. They had sickness in their household. So we hope they are recovering well. We want to lift up Brother Thomas Doggett. Continue prayers for his healing and recovery. Amen. And all the others that are on our sick and shut in list, we want to continue to lift them up in our prayers. We have a lot of extended family members of ATOP members that are sick and that they've been asking prayer for. So we just
I can't stop yawning. I must have got up too early this morning.
And then, of course, we want to say blessings and Godspeed to our now formal regional minister in Tennessee, Dr. Crystal Williams.
Crystal.
She will be missed in Tennessee.
Dearly.
But she's headed to Indianapolis, Indiana, the largest region in our denomination. And she's going to do a wonderful, wonderful job there.
Absolutely.
Just as she did in Tennessee. We're going to miss her, but we know the best is yet to come for our sister in Christ.
That's right. We had a great time yesterday just with our reception, and the people at ATOP did an excellent job in terms of preparation for that, and many came out to just say words of encouragement. And I tell you, she's going to be missed, and I think she's carrying with her a lot that she's learned here that's going to help propel her in the new role and new ministry that God has given her in Indiana.
Amen.
Won't be the same. Sure won't be the same kind of people, but she will be carrying a powerful anointing with her. And she talked to us in depth about that on yesterday, even after the reception, about how some things had just been kind of bottled up inside of her that God is now releasing her in terms of her prophetic gifts.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And what a prophetic gift she has.
That's right. That's
to offer the body of Christ. And so we just thank God for it.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you, Lady Kim, for your excellence in preparation for the past 3 weeks. And then the workshop that will take place again this Saturday at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. We need to see you at
Those of you who couldn't make it this past week and want to make sure that we get at least 25 people present on Saturday, and we'll be in the educational building. The workshop shouldn't last no more than an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. But it's very powerful and it's very helpful to give you insight and help you to understand the importance of the problem that persists in our community.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So will you close us out with a word of prayer then?
Absolutely. Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our hearts and minds to you in prayer right now, God. God, we know you to be a merciful and just God. So we ask that you will forgive us of all unrighteousness, every sin that we may have thought, said, or even done. We ask your forgiveness, Father. God, we thank you for allowing us to go through another day, to make it to this point on this evening. We ask, God, that you will touch the hearts of those who will view this Bible study at a later time and a later date. We ask whatever has been said, oh God, will be a seed and fertile soil into their soul. So we love you today, God, and we thank you for the words that have come forth about how we are to worship and praise you. And we thank you, God, for all that you are doing in our midst. We thank you for you continuing to bless Anointed Temple of Praise. God, we feel a shift in the atmosphere, and we ask that you would continue to take us higher in you. And we ask, God, that you would continue to make every provision as we step out in faith. We love you. We thank you for those who are connected to Anointed Temple of Praise. We thank you for their commitment. We thank you for their love. We thank you for whatever they do to pour into ministry so that ministry can go forth. Now, God, as we go on tonight, we pray for our sick that are among us, oh God. We've talked about, or we've lifted up the names before. We lift up the Taylor family. We lift up the Doggett family. We lift up all the people who are struggling with illness. And God, we pray for those who are bereaved on tonight. Touch Mother Hughes right now and her family, God, and lift the burden of bereavement. And touch Sister Luberta Brown and her family tonight as they grieve the loss of their loved one. And we know what your word says, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So we thank you for their joy right now. Now, God, as we go from this streaming platform, continue to allow us to rise and soar above our circumstances so that we might be able to bless your people. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God. All right. Well, thank y'all for bearing with us tonight as we work through these difficulties and powerful study tonight. And we hope you have an enjoyable rest of this Monday evening.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Hope to see you on Saturday, 3939 Riverdale Road, 10 o'clock a.m. for our Meals from the Heart workshop. Bye, everybody. Love you guys.